Cliff Corcoran of the Major League Baseball Network. Sir, how are you today?
Doing well. How's it going?
Good, man. What have you made of the Jays acquisitions thus far ahead of Monday's deadline?
I was surprised by the Melvin Upton deal. I mean, he's certainly a very good player, like you were just saying. He has a lot of utility, and he makes their bench much better. You know, but I didn't necessarily feel that they needed an outfielder. But then again, they gave up very little for him. They're not paying very much of his salary. And, you know, the one low A for whatever it was prospect that they gave up is not a guy that the organization is going to miss. They almost got Melvin Upton for free. So in that case, sure, yeah, we'll put him on the bench. And, you know, like you said, give him some spot starts against lefties and use him as a defensive replacement, et cetera, et cetera. Happy to do that. They made the deal for Grilly earlier in the year. I thought that was nice. The Benoit deal doesn't excite me very much. I think that's kind of like my burned out over the hill reliever for your burned out over the hill reliever, change of scenery type of thing, stick him at the back of the bullpen. But then you look at their bullpen now, and you know, with Morales being activated, you no longer have Schultz and Tapera or Loop, the guys like that at the end. So maybe you feel a little more confident with the veterans there. You know, it could go either way. I'm not, like, again, not real enthusiastic about it. But, you know, I still worry a little bit about their starting rotation. I feel like they could use an extra guy there. I think that's, you know, that's their target area. You know, the bullpen, too, they've made some moves there. But I guess the question with the rotation is there going to be a spot there? You know, you weren't sure about Estrada, but he's come back off the DL. You know, Stroman's pitched poorly, but you're not gonna bump him necessarily. So it's kind of tricky as to if they do trade for a guy, how do you fit him in there? They're doing what they can.
Yeah, and it's all tied into what are they going to do with Aaron Sanchez, because he's been Cy Young good, and there's still talk about him going to the bullpen, not because of his production, but because of how many balls he's thrown towards the catcher's mitt in games, which some people think silly. Other people think it's you're unduly adding risk if you continue to use him as a starter. Where do you fall out, and do you think there's enough hard science to say, here's exactly how you approach this situation?
Well, I mean, whether or not there's hard science, I mean, we can't really. We've seen, you know, pitchers be protected and it not work out. So I think there is some hard science about pitchers who are young and still developing. You really give the age 25, which I think that's Sanchez is 25, isn't he? That's kind of like right around where you say, okay, we can take the. He's 24. Yeah, he just turned 24, too. My mistake. I thought he was a little bit older than that. So you worry about guys under 25 because, again, their arms are kind of still developing. If he was a little bit older, you'd say, well, maybe we can go for it. There are concerns there. But also, he's spent a full season in the majors last year. Yes, a lot of it was in the bullpen. I'd be tempted to just leave him in the rotation. Like you say, he's been their best pitcher. He's arguably, not convinced, because I'm actually doing my awards watch column right now. He's in my top three for the Cy Young right now.
Wow.
So you're talking about, you know, but not at a very enthusiastic. The AL Cy Young race is kind of a mess this year. I hate to say Estrada and Sanchez are certainly getting consideration, but there's no real winner right now for that race. But still, he's in that conversation. He's leading the league in ERA. It's, you know, the Blue Jays are a very good team and have a real chance to maybe even win the division. I can't see taking him out. You know, it's really tricky because, you know, he's certainly a very good young pitcher. He's been one of their top prospects for a long time. He's a guy you want to protect. He's a guy you want to build around. But he's not Jose Fernandez or Steven Strasburg. He's not, like, you know, the next Clayton Kershaw. You know, he's going to be a very good pitcher, but I don't see him being so dominant that, you know, I really honestly, for the chance to maybe win a division, I'm going to let Aaron Sanchez pitch and take my chances because the science is not that hard and sure. Because, you know, you could protect a guy and his arm could still go on you. So, you know, if that's the case, you know, I'm tempted to just say, you know, let him pitch. You know, maybe they're going to be a little quicker with the hook. You know, if instead of saying, well, maybe he could go another inning, he'd get into that bullpen, and that could be another reason to build up the bullpen a little bit more between now and the deadline. But I would be very disappointed to see, both for Blue Jays fans and for baseball fans and for Aaron Sanchez, to see Aaron Sanchez move to the bullpen before the end of this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And you have to like if he does stay there, and that would have some balls to do that, given that, you know, we can, you know, talk about it, but they're the GMs that have to go address the media and deal with the fan base if this, you know, blows up in their face or his elbow blows up in their face, which, of course, is the great concern. But if you roll Sanchez, Estrada, Hap, Stroman, I mean, they don't need a starter to add to that group, but take Sanchez out, and all of a sudden you've got Dickey in a playoff game, which I think is more concerning. What is the price on the market for a guy that's an upgrade on Dickey that can be your third or fourth best pitcher for a playoff roster?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are a lot of teams out there that need pitching help. You can go through most of the contenders, and obviously the Orioles within the division need pitching help. The Marlins are a team that needs pitching help. The Dodgers have had pitching trouble. They might not be getting Kershaw back. The Rangers, almost every team it seems like, could use a starting pitcher. So there's a ton of competition. What the prices are going to wind up being, I'm not really sure. We haven't seen too much movement there yet. But there's not a lot out there, and there's a lot of competition. So you're going to talk about guys like maybe a Jeremy Hellickson or an Ivan Nova being really paying more than you want for a rental on a mediocre to bad pitcher. So, and if the one of those guys, if a Hellickson is an upgrade on Dickey, it might be a slight one. It's not very exciting, and certainly I don't think the Blue Jays want to. Although at the same time, the Blue Jays organizationally have historically been very willing to make deals and trade prospects, for kind of win now guys, and it's finally starting to pay off. And they have this team right now, obviously, certainly with Bautista and Encarnacion approaching free agency, where you have to go for it. That's another reason to keep Sanchez in the rotation, is because really you've got to go for it in the last year with these guys. Donaldson having another MVP quality season, things are working out. For so many years, the Blue Jays had pretty good teams on paper, and they're just riddled with injuries or something else would go wrong. Things are working. They got off to a slow start, but they're right back in it. They've been an excellent team for a few months now. They have to go for it, but whether or not it's worth spending for a mediocre pitcher to upgrade on Dickey, I'm not so sure.
Is it worth it for the Orioles or Red Sox? The Sox tried with Pomerantz, and I don't know. It's incredibly small sample sizes, but one horrible start, one passable start. For them, does it make more sense?
Well, the Pomerantz deal I actually liked a lot. Yes, they gave up an extremely well-regarded prospect, but one that was so far away from the majors, a teenager and one guy. For Pomerantz, who has two more team control years. See, that's the other thing. That's not a rental. That's a quality young pitcher, former first-round draft pick, who has a couple of years left and is finally blossoming, and there's some real legitimate things. You look at his pitch selection and the things he's done with incorporating additional pitches and that sort of thing. That there's reason to believe his improvement in San Diego was real. And yes, a lot of times you look at James Shields, the pitchers coming to new teams, right? James Shields came over the White Sox, and he was ungodly terrible for three or four starts. And then he shook it off and ran off a bunch of quality starts. A guy coming into a situation like that, particularly in Boston, I'm not going to judge him too hard in his first couple of starts. I think Drew Pomeranz was a fantastic pickup for the Red Sox. It was totally worth it. And the Orioles are a similar situation. The Orioles decided, to me, the big thing with the Orioles was signing Chris Davis, spending all that money on Chris Davis, which I did not think they should have done, but they did, and he's had a good season for them, and they're in first place. They have to go for it, because I think things are going to get real ugly on the back end of that contract. Getting the year they're having out of Mark Trumbo, which honestly they're not likely to get a second year like that out of him. I think everything's fallen into place for them this year. Machado had, breaking out, having an MVP quality season. They need to go for it. They need to spend to get that. They can easily bump somebody from their rotation to get a good starter in there. But the Orioles, kind of like the Red Sox did, might be more interested in going big, getting a front-end guy, spending a lot. Again, they're already in first place. They can reinforce that with an ace. I feel like that might be more appropriate for them. Their situation is a little more desperate than the Blue Jays when it comes to their rotation.
Cliff Corcoran joins us. Who is an ace out there? Are we talking Chris Sale? Are there other guys that could come into the picture? Do you think Sale's being, or are they just listening to calls rather than hanging up, maybe, as they would have a year ago?
I would be shocked to see if the White Sox are going to trade Chris Sale, which makes no sense to me because he's on a very team-friendly contract through, I think it is, 2021,
yeah,
with options on there. It makes no sense at all to me for them to trade him unless they're burning the whole thing down. And if they're doing that, that means they're trading in the next few days Todd Frazier, Melky Cabrera, Brett Laurie. They're trading it. All those guys are free agents after next year. If they're trading Chris Sale, they're burning the whole thing to the ground. I don't see them doing that. The White Sox have continually gave the impression that they thought they were one or two players away from contention. And they're hanging out. You know, I mean, they're not in great shape. They're not going to make the postseason this year, but they have performed better this year. I just don't see Chris Sale. Even if they're overwhelmed, it makes no sense. He's an irreplaceable player. He's always in that Cy Young conversation. Every year he's been a starter, he's been like a top five or six Cy Young vote recipient, and he will be again this year. It makes no sense at all for me for them to trade him. And I feel the same way about Chris Archer with the Rays, who's another guy who we've heard a lot about. A guy who, again, is on a very team-friendly contract that goes out quite a number of years. And with Chris Archer, he's having a bad year. Why would you trade low on a player with that quality talent, who's young, who signed on a team-friendly deal for that long? It makes no sense to me at all. What could they possibly get that would be better than what Chris Archer could probably do for them after shaking off a bad season and coming back next year? Or if you're going to trade him, you've got years to wait until he's having a good year, and then you trade him and you get twice as much. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Cliff Corcoran joins us of SI.com. You got a good piece up right now on the Yankees. We heard their general manager saying, oh, we don't really like these black and white terms of buyer, seller. You know, there's other areas to hang out, but you're saying sell, sell, sell. They should be sellers. And for $200 million and what they've got on the field, I would agree with you.
Yeah, the Yankees are not going to the postseason this year. They've had a nice little run since right around the Chapman trades, and since, you know, I wrote that, and they've been playing pretty well. But I do not see that. I think they're a very mediocre team that's laden down with bad contracts and aging veterans. They've by weighted at bats, they have the oldest collection of hitters in the major leagues, and they're a bunch of mediocre type guys. And I think they just need to start cutting bait. But for them, it can be a quick turnaround because they have a lot of good prospects that are right on the verge. Brian McCann has actually been one of the better catchers in the American League, which is kind of damning with faint praise because the American League hasn't had a great collection of catchers this year. But he's been one of the better ones. But I think he would be valuable as a trade chip right now. And Gary Sanchez is ready to step in at catcher. If Greg Bird comes back from his injury next year, Mark Teixeira right now is dead weight. They can cut him yesterday, as far as I'm concerned. There's no value there. They can't even try to trade him. But he's done after his contract's done this year, so get rid of him. Bird's ready to step in. You know, Rob Refsnyder could use a position. Give him a shot to maybe win third base or something, because Chase Headley's not really doing much for them. I would trade Brett Gardner as well, and then take the offseason, maybe make a run at a guy like Bautista or Cespedes, and try to get a middle-of-the-order bat instead of another slap-hitting, speedy lefty, you know, who does play good defense, but Ellsbury's not going anywhere, and you don't need two of those guys. You know, you can keep on going down the line. Aaron Judge, Severino, they have these young players who are ready to step in, and maybe they need one more transition year next year for those guys to get on their feet. Obviously, Severino didn't have a great start to this season, but you can kind of see those pieces falling into place, and then the Yankees throwing their money around after that and being arguably a good contending team in 2018, but they've got to cut the fat now to get it done. And if they do that, they can add some more good players into their system.
Yeah, I think we've all heard they're going to make a big push for Bryce Harper. Now, that's clearly just speculation, but it would be a very Yankees thing to do, especially if you look back over time, not just the last couple of years. But who are those chips of value? If they are going to sell, what gets them the best return in terms of stocking that system? Who are the impact arms or bats that are going to end up on other contenders?
Well, again, I mean, the thing ultimately comes down to they're probably not going to do this. They're trying to shop Ivan Nova. He may get moved, but he's not really that valuable, except for the fact that his value might get driven up by so many teams being interested in pitching. You know, I actually don't think they should trade Andrew Miller. He's another guy whose name has come up, but he's on a good team-friendly contract. He signed for a couple more years. If you're looking at maybe a 20, one of their core players at this point. I think McCann could get a good return. Catching is real thin all around. He's a veteran. He's got, you know, he's been one of the better hitting catchers in the American League. Whether or not they could get a whole lot of return for the other guys, it's a lot about eating contract. There may not be a lot of demand. It may be that they can't get a whole lot for too many of the other guys. Obviously, Sabathia is not going to draw anything. He's kind of an out, partially because his $25 million vesting option is going to vest unless he has a shoulder injury before the end of the year. There was some interest in Gardner in the offseason. Could they maybe get some? I mean, I don't think they're going to get a whole lot for any of these guys, even if they do try to shop them. But I think just clearing the space for the younger kids and clearing maybe a little bit of salary and getting some, you know, either a low A lottery ticket arm or maybe kind of a mediocre guy who could be on the bench next year in Double A or Triple A. They're not going to get a lot, but I feel like they need to just cut the fat because they're stuck in this. I think the worst place to be in Major League Baseball is stuck in the middle. And the Blue Jays fans know about that because they were there for a long time. You don't get to rebuild, and you're not winning. You're just stuck in the middle, and that's where the Yankees are right now, and they need to break that cycle.
Yeah, they're stuck in the middle, and then they're stuck in the middle with $203 million dedicated to payroll this year.
Yes, it's a mess. They're losing. A lot of that's coming off soon.
Yeah.
You know, Teixeira's off at the end of this year. After next year, A-Rod and Sabathia are coming off. So, you know, at that point, the Ellsbury contract will be their worst one. But, you know, they need to turn the corner, and right now the Chapman trade alone is not going to do it.